Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello there, and welcome to an encore presentation of Databank Brawl. This is a show we started way back in 2016 and ran all the way through early 2020. The episodes are buried deep in our archives, so we are re-releasing them starting with episode one.
If you've never heard Databank Brawl, here's the deal. We pick two characters from the Star Wars databank and then make up a deadly fight between them. Pain, shame, and comedy ensue.
Yes, we hope you enjoy the jokes we made on purpose and the random comments about the future of Star Wars, which are now hilariously outdated. So with no further ado, here is Databank Brawl Rewind. As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there. And he didn't say this part. Welcome to Databank Brawl, a podcast where we examine two characters in the Star Wars galaxy, their absolute truth as a character, and then, for our comedic joy, we make them fight. And we discuss who would win in that fight. This podcast is, of course, part of the Force Center podcast feed. Thank you all for tuning in and continuing to make Force Center podcast feed a big success. With me here is my partner in the Force Center podcast feed, Mr. Ken Knapsack.
Hey, so glad to be back on one of my favorite shows in the Star Wars fandom universe, man. It's awesome.
Thank you so much for being here. We have a forward-looking data bank brawl. We are still here in the thrall, the afterglow of The Force Awakens.
Right.
We did an episode with Lobot and Dengar fighting, the two kind of classic sad sacks of the original trilogy. And I also wanted to do an episode where we're looking forward. So all of the information that I pull about the characters comes directly from StarWars.com databank. So it is absolutely canon. It is the freshest truth. And I thought it would be fun to get the freshest truth about characters we're just getting to know. So I picked two characters from The Force Awakens. We don't have this great history with them like we do with Dengar and Lobot and many other characters. So this one will be a little bit more about looking to the future and imagining who they could be and what kind of tricks they could pull out when they have a random fight for no reason. So the first character that we are going to examine is one of the characters that I think has frustrated the fans of Star Wars because they want more. And this databank entry is only provocative. We are going to examine Lor San Tekka.
Gotcha.
Or as he was known when we first watched the movie, who's that guy? And we all wanted to know and looked up Lor San Tekka. And I believe since the actual opening weekend of the film, this entry on Star Wars databank has been filled out.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. Here's who Lor San Tekka is. A legendary traveler and explorer, Lor San Tekka is a longtime ally of the New Republic and the Resistance. After the Battle of Endor, San Tekka helped Luke Skywalker recover secret Jedi lore that the Empire had tried to erase, and Leia Organa hopes the old scout can now help find her brother. Following decades of adventure, San Tekka retired to live simply on Jakku, where he follows the dictates of the once-forbidden Church of the Force. But his retirement is fated to be anything but peaceful. So, to me, wow, there's a lot in there. Like,
there's a ton in there.
Yeah. Starting with, the main thing is the Church of the Force.
Yeah.
What is that? And that is that great thing that we've talked about before as a Star Wars fan, where you're just like, I saw the movie. I had digested everything about it. And then you just read some little detail anywhere. Like, by the way, there's a thing called the Church of the Force. And you're like, what the hell is that? So we have no idea what the Church of the Force is, but I think the idea is a little bit of what we got introduced to with Maz of, I am no Jedi, but I know the Force.
Right.
And Star Wars has always played around with that. The Force is kind of a religion. It's sometimes called a religion. Like, oh, well, this is straight up. I can't use the Force.
Hoagie religions.
But I believe in it.
Yeah.
And after I read this description of Lor San Tekka, it made me hear his line in the beginning of the film differently, where he says general in regards to Leia. To me, she's royalty.
Right.
Which you can interpret as a reference to being a princess.
Right.
But you can also interpret as she is a part of the strongest Force-using family the galaxy has ever known. To me, she is Force royalty. She's like a Force pope.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at I'm on Wikipedia, where I love that you get the information straight from Star Wars, because that's the source, man. But
always want more.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and it is such a the Church of the Force. I mean, the fact that General John Dodonna is the first to say, "May the Force be with you" in Star Wars, that's no Jedi.
Yeah,
that's a guy. The Rebel Alliance was very aware of the Force as this thing you believed in and you hoped was with you.
Yeah, it was ultimately a good thing.
It was
unless
a good
it's perverted.
Thing. Yeah, unless you take it to dark places. So the Church of the Force, something not introduced until now, it makes perfect sense to
me. And it pulls in lots of stuff from the prequels, the idea of, he even mentions balance, that the Force has been out of balance, and it pulls in all those ideas that this is the ongoing actual story of Star Wars, is just trying to get the damn Force in balance. And who better to do that than somebody who is involved in the once forbidden Church of the Force.
Right.
It also just gives us information about like who he is, which I think is gonna come up with his fighting prowess of what he does. He's described as a scout, but it also says that he helped Luke recover secret Jedi lore that the Empire had tried to erase.
Right.
I think that helps really clarify some people's confusion that the map is not a map to Luke Skywalker in The Force Awakens. It's a map to the first Jedi Temple.
Correct.
And that's why Lor San Tekka might have this information, because he's traveled around with Luke
yep. discovering old Jedi stuff.
You're 100% right there. And I can hear you out the audience calling right now. Yes, I hope we get a Luke and Lor San Tekka buddy comedy.
Absolutely.
Comes around.
I want to see them in a space Corvette spinning around space. So also they describe him as having a lot of adventures. So you could interpret this character as a peaceful old man who is a member of a forbidden church, or he could be an adventurer. You know, I can see him traveling around with his staff ready to whack people just like Rey does too.
Right. Well, I'm reading the novelization of The Force Awakens.
Right.
And I believe he's even referred to as like a soldier of fortune.
Yeah, and I get that vibe that he has been around, he has seen things after many years of traveling and adventures suggest that he's not just baggage along for the ride. That
I've traveled too far and seen too much to ignore the despair in the galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he hasn't, I don't think that he has been watching Rey because I feel like he's had adventures and he just recently settled down on Jakku.
Yes.
Which kind of pops the balloon of he is there just to watch over Rey.
Yeah, I still can see why you'd say that, especially he was so close to Luke. And if Luke knows, it turns out if it turns out Luke's like, oh, Rey's finally here, then I could see some credence in Lor San Tekka's watching Rey. But he was kind of far away to be watching.
Yeah, he wasn't doing a good job of it.
Yeah,
and he doesn't appear to be a Force user. He doesn't appear to be Force sensitive himself.
Right, and it doesn't seem like he has any kind of direct communication to Luke anymore.
Yeah,
he could probably travel if he wanted to see him, but. Yeah.
So do you have any other gut-level emotional reactions to the character of Lor San Tekka when you saw him in the film?
I do. Max von Sydow was so happy when he was added to the cast, and we all were wondering what he was going to play, and I wanted more, and I think we discussed in other episodes that Force Center that I thought Max von Sydow was going to be like a Tarkin type of leader, maybe an old Jedi. And then when you saw him in The Force Awakens, and I was very nervous the first time, and the first line of dialogue is, "This will begin to make things right," which I believe is very intentional.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Sito's got the accent and everything. I was so nervous. I was like, this scene's not working. It's not working. It's not working. In my subsequent viewings, it's one of my favorite moments of the film. Sydow is in just in these moments is such a classically great actor that it reminds me of Wayne's World 2 where they do the quick scene where they sub out the day player for Charlton Heston and it makes it that much better. So it works for me. And so I have a warm place in my heart for this character I know hardly anything about.
Yeah.
And there's so much intrigue and I don't. You know, will we get the answers of it? Like, I want the answers of Lor San Tekka and what he and Luke did, but I'd almost be okay with if we never really hear.
Yeah, he's a little bit mysterious.
Yeah.
He has this great air of authority. And, you know, watching the film again, I feel like, and it's not just Max von Sydow, it is that character character is the one who's like, no, I got the real info about what's going on in the galaxy. I know who you are. I know who you were before you were called Kylo Ren. I know the truth of your family. I know the truth of the Force. And it has this weight of conviction. Like, if it had been done differently, he could have sounded like a crackpot.
Yeah.
Like, Church of Force could be like Church of Scientology. But with this, it's this authority of, like, this is the truth. And I'm not afraid of you. I'm not running from you. I'm not hiding from you. If you need to be a sniveling brat and cut me down,
do it.
Yeah, I mean, he puts his hand up, but in general, that's sort of like, I'm not running. This is my home, and I'm going to stand up to you, and I'm going to, you know.
This is my fate, and this
a
is
a little
it,
bit of like, an almost, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. I don't think he did, but a little bit of that sort of like, I'm not afraid of you at all. So I think he has this great authority. I am waiting for his action figure. His figure at the time of this recording is not out.
Yeah.
I can't fully picture in my mind what he's wearing, but when I tried to picture it, it is a little retired beach bum. It's a little kind of a caftan.
A little bit of Wasting Away of Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want to be able to study his clothing more and see if I can get more hints about the depth of his character.
Yeah.
From all of the folds of his robes.
Yeah. It's an intriguing character just because you upon first glance in the theater, you think, oh, it's old wise Jedi. We got another. And then to learn that he's not.
Nope.
He knows the Force. He's a soldier of fortune. He's traveled. So yeah, that figure definitely is. It's gonna be one of those niche figures that I think some people might be like, I don't want the old guy.
Yeah.
But you and me are like, I'll take three.
Yeah. And a character that is kind of new to the Star Wars galaxy. And for our next character, also a little bit of a new vibe to the Star Wars galaxy, Tasu Leech. Here's what StarWars.com databank has to say about Tasu Leech. The leader of the Kanji Club, Tasu Leech is a brutal street fighter. Leech grew up on the Hutt colony world of Narkanji and refuses to speak Basic, dismissing it as a soft language for soft people and preferring to let his Hutt splitter blaster rifle do the talking. Leech and his fighters confront Han Solo aboard his bulk freighter, angry that the Corellian has twice failed to deliver promised cargo. Oh, man.
I've just learned now where the term Kanja Club comes from now.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's
I didn't know that was the planet Narkanja.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me. I loved it. I had no problem with the name.
Yeah.
I have more problem with the Guavian Death Gang, though. I think the name's fine there, too.
Yeah.
But
it's like Studio City Club.
Yeah, exactly what it is. I think it's a great diverse character. I wonder, the speaking, refusing to speak Basic is interesting. Because I was kind of wondering, like, why he didn't get that chance, the actor. But also, the actors from the Ewan Ryan, I can't say it, but he's from the Raid 2 and all stuff like that. So all those guys in that scene were. So I was a little, when he only spoke the English alien language, I was a little like, oh, like, okay, interesting choice. But then to write it like that and explain it, and that's part of the character choice, okay, I like it.
And it's in quotes, which is rare for a StarWars.com databank. Soft language for soft people is in quotes, as in that's a thing that he would yell at you in Hutt. Like, don't come at me. Don't come at me with your whiny Basic. That's a soft language for soft people. And going back to the Raid thing, I don't know the Raid movies, and I know a lot of people were bummed out because it's yet another in the huge collection of criticisms of Force Awakens where I wanted more of the cool thing, where people were bummed out because they knew these guys from the Raid were going to be in the movie and they didn't do much. Did that affect you?
No, I mean, I'm not as familiar with the Raid movies as like Josh Tapia is or some of the other guys that I know from Schmoville and Screen Junkies, but I'd known about them enough and seen enough of what they had done that I was expecting a big fight.
Yeah.
I was expecting a human-on-human fight, which may be another reason I really don't like the Rathars.
Yeah.
I think they got in a way what could have been a pretty great moment, though. Kanja Club had no one really to fight. Finn, Rey, Chewie, and Han couldn't have probably given him the fight that we wanted to see.
Yeah.
But I think casting, again, expectations of what we think the movie should be going in.
Yeah.
And the character Tasu Leech pops up as a Lego figure in the Millennium Falcon set.
Oh, wow.
So that was the first time we all kind of like, oh, that's okay, that's one of the Raid guys, and he's got a name, and he's got something to do with the Falcon, and Rey and Solo, so I think we all were expecting that, but I'm okay with what the moment we got. It's an interesting character.
Yeah, we still get Han punching somebody in that scene, so we get a tiny bit of fisticuffs.
Yeah,
and he does certainly come off as menacing, much more menacing than the Guavian Death Gang.
Yeah,
yeah, the Guavian Death Gang. I love them. You know, I love things in Star Wars that are bizarre and weird.
Yeah,
but they look like they could also be on an episode of Red Dwarf.
yeah, and I even in looking at the visual dictionary to get on those characters. Like, I don't know if they're robots or not. I think those are masks.
I think they're robots. I think I read recently on Databank when I was making my choices for this year episode.
So Tasu Leech is a good choice.
So Tasu Leech.
And interesting.
So it suggests a great background for him. Brutal street fighter. Great. Grew up on a Hutt colony world. So that you get the picture of this is a kid who has always had it rough.
Right.
And has had to fight to survive. And that won't even speak Basic, you know, and we know the Hutts are generally not nice to the people in their employ and not nice, especially to other species. So the fact that his giant blaster rifle is called a Hutt splitter.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool and badass. Yeah. Just visceral and evocative and kind of gross.
Yeah.
A Hutt splitter.
Yeah. There's a lot of in that sound there.
There are a lot of noises implied by Hutt splitter. So do you have any other emotional reactions to the character of Tasu Leech?
Nothing overly, definitely not the impact that Lor San Tekka had emotionally. But I'll tell you this, if Tasu Leech survived the Rathar somehow.
I'm trying to remember if we specifically saw him being grabbed.
I don't think so.
I think we might have seen him being grabbed, but I don't know if we saw him devoured.
Right. So if that character is still alive and there's something that he comes back to, I don't need everyone from 7 to appear in 8 again. Definitely not the Guavian Death Gang, but I'd be okay with that because the character the actor portraying him and just the look and feel of the character, even not knowing this stuff about the Hutt splitter and all that stuff. It's a character where you're like, all right, I could get there's something to that story.
Yeah.
And I could see it would make sense and I'd enjoy it to come back.
Yeah. And part of the fun of this here podcast is trolling into the StarWars.com data bank and beginning to learn, do they sometimes just kind of flesh it out for fun?
Right.
Or is this amount of detail about his backstory an indication that there's some canon that we've missed that's already there? Or is there some canon that's coming out that's going to spend some time on Narkanji?
Yeah. Like, he hasn't appeared. There's some of those side books. He's appeared in Han and Chewie Return and The Perfect Weapon, which is, I believe, the Luke book. But those are not even the main novels.
And I think those aren't even the YA novels. I think those are a bunch of short stories that are only available as downloads. You can't buy them physically in the world yet. And there's a ton of those. So maybe I will start to take it out. If Databank has fleshed out somebody this much, maybe there's a short story out there that you can find.
Something to come
In sort of a Kindle download world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to dig into some of those because there's a lot of great stuff with the side characters in those short stories. I feel like this is a fun representation. I talk about Star Wars, like the A story is the Jedi and the Force, and the B story is the scum and the bounty hunters, and this is a straight up new character from the A story Jedi world and a new character from the B story scum world, and they are gonna fight.
The grimy, grimy world.
All of these fights are gonna be ridiculous. And on almost every pairing, there's going to be someone who seems that person should be a smear on the wall.
Yeah.
So we're here to give hope to the hopeless
and
rack our brains is there any way aged Lor San Tekka, who we do not believe is a Force user, could possibly stop himself from being split like a Hutt?
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
At the hands of Dasu Leech.
I don't.
Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We're going to wrap up. I'm trying to wrap my head. I mean, we got a 90-year-old soldier of fortune.
Yep.
But that's in his past.
Being generous. He's a 90-year-old soldier of fortune. Yeah.
Traveler, adventurer, but definitely in his past. Now, and what I don't like about Tasu Leech and what I don't like about Santeca's chances against Tasu Leech is I don't think Tasu Leech gives a damn about who you are.
No.
And he's got a hut splitter.
He's got a hut splitter. And he feels speaking in basic is weak.
Yes.
He's not, Lord Santeca is not going to be able to talk to him about, like, well, let me tell you about the balance of the force.
Right.
Tasu Leech, I think, is like, shut up, F you, give me my money.
Give me my money.
Yeah.
But what we have learned in the brief moments we have with Tasu Leech on Solo's freighter is there's a lot of talk.
A lot of talk.
But hesitation to act against someone he has some fearful respect for.
It's true. He could have just come in firing.
He could have shot.
Yeah.
Did they really think Han was going to give them their money? Did they go there to collect money or did they go there to kill Han and Chewie? And I think the answer is B.
Yeah.
So you do that and you face off with him.
Right. But he does let Han sass him first.
Lets him sass him first.
Yeah. So there is some hesitancy. So let's dial this back for a moment as we get into our fight.
Yeah.
And figure out where this is happening. Where are these two titans encountering one another?
I think if it's going to happen, if we're trying to keep it within canon as we know now, Force Awakens.
Yeah, let's keep this canonical.
Be awesome. Something we said on the side here suddenly becomes canon. Like Abrams was listening. Yeah. Ryan, I got an idea for you. Do you listen to Data Bank Brawl? No, but Trevorrow does. I think it's at Nima Outpost.
Okay.
I think Santeca made one of his rare trips in to maybe trade some stuff.
This is a little before The Force Awakens.
Yeah, Unkar plot stuff.
Yep.
Tasu Leech is out there at the Western Reaches looking for some junk.
Okay.
Maybe he's looking for Solo. Maybe he knows the Falcon's there.
Maybe he's going to take the Falcon from Unkar Plas.
Yeah, maybe he's some money. I know Unkar's got the Falcon. Maybe I can try out Solo. Yeah, I think
that's a great point. It seems like a lot of people in the galaxy know of the Millennium Falcon, and it seems like it's only safe there because people just are like, Jakku, the graveyard?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
It's like the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
Not really, but kind of. Yeah, so I think that's the setup. And Santeca's just going in there to get some half portions and, do some trading, catch up.
Now, I don't think Laura Santeca would have any respect for Unkar Plot.
None. He'd have zero to little patience. The only civilized communications he'd have with Unkar are just based on the fact that Lord Santeca is civilized himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's only saying hi because Santeca's capable of overlooking Unkar's disgusting nature to, I'll be pleasant to you because I have to.
Yeah, I think if he's in Nima Outpost, I think Lord Santeca is doing something like, I'm trying to build a space flute. Or get some chimes or something really pleasant and going with the force, easy going. So like, do you have any space junk that I can make a flute out of?
My chimes are broken. These new chimes will begin to make things right.
Yeah, that's right. It's absolutely just...
So that's why he's there.
His little hut is out of whack.
Yeah.
The feng shui is off in his hut. And he's going there to fix up.
So he shrugs his shoulders with a sigh. I got to go to Unkar Plat at Nima Outpost.
I have no respect for you.
No.
But I will take your chimes.
Yeah.
Keep your portions.
Yeah.
I'll give you a portion. Okay, so we think Lor Santeca is at Nima Outpost to get some chimes. We think Tasu Leech is there to get maybe a lead on the Falcon.
Yeah.
Maybe just keep it for himself, maybe for leverage on Han Solo, because he's just so had it.
Yeah, and I don't think he likes or respects Unkar either.
Yeah.
But I think Unkar Plot's got enough baddies around him that he's protected, and this isn't a fight he's going to pick with Unkar.
Yeah.
He doesn't respect him enough. He's going to be aggressive with him.
Yeah, because I think Tasu Leech, from his description, has two fighting modes. Like, I think he has throw the blaster down, don't worry about the blaster, and just punch.
Yeah.
Punch and fight and brawl, that's a way of life. That's like sleeping and eating and defecating to him. Like, you fight sometimes just to keep your edge.
Just to do it.
So, and then I think he's got business. I've got my hut splitter.
Right.
I'm not messing around.
Right.
So I could see him coming to Nima Outpost and, like, I'm going to beat up some of Unkar's pathetic thugs.
Right.
just to kind of keep myself in shape.
Just to do it.
But if he's there to get the Falcon, he's going to have his blaster and he's going to be ready to go.
Ready to do it. And ready to play ball a little bit with Unkar and whoever he's running into.
So what is... How do they come in conflict, these two very different people there? One there just to get peaceful chimes.
Yeah.
The other loaded up with a hut splitter by himself. I'm going to say he doesn't have the whole kanji club with him.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say because he feels like he can handle this by himself.
Yeah.
To be fair. How does a conflict arise?
I think there perhaps might be, I think Santeca is in line to buy some chimes and Tasu Leech is cutting into the line to talk to Unkar, but not cutting in front of Lor San Tekka. He's cutting in front of some of the other citizens and denizens of
the scavengers.
The scavengers. Not Ray, but it could be. But and I think San Tekka's like, hey, sir,
excuse me. Yeah.
There's a line.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it would start.
And then the fists start flying.
Tasu Leech goes, that's the closest I can
to him speaking Huttese.
To Huttese and Norkanja or Nakanja.
So how, in what galaxy is it remotely possible that Lor San Tekka has something up his sleeve? What resources could he possibly call? And see, I believe that he is capable of defending himself. He's not a lover of violence because he clearly is on the light side of the Force.
Right.
At least the Force should be in balance. So he would certainly defend himself.
Have you ever seen those YouTube videos of this thug picked on a World War II veteran and what he didn't expect happened next?
Yes.
That's where I think this is.
He's got judo. He's got like the judo sort of, I'm going to use your anger and aggression against you.
Yeah.
Yes. He would try to get the high ground morally and physically.
I've been around the galaxy and I know that you need the high ground. I think Tasu is going to be like, excuse me, I'm cutting in line. I don't give a damn what you are. I've got this HUD splitter.
Yeah.
But he's not going to use it because he's by himself and there's some people, who knows? And
yeah.
He doesn't want the fight. Not because he's nice, but because Tasu Leech he's not here for this, but he certainly will fight. So he's not afraid of it. So I think Santeca is going to stand in front of whoever he's cutting in front of. I think he's the type of person who wishes he could travel without a weapon on the lands of Jakku.
Right.
But he's smarter to know he needs one.
He has to have something.
There's something in that cloak.
Yeah. Okay. I think he's got, something sort of like two short staffs.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe not sharp, but otherwise, like if you're going to have two, what are the ninja turtles? What is that? Size? S-A-I?
Yeah.
Is that how you say them?
Size?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think not sharp, but like two little batons. There's the word I was searching for.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Two little batons. Yeah.
Two little junk batons.
Gotcha.
Two make sense because that's balance.
Yeah. That's right.
So he's got those in his robes.
Yep.
In his space caftan. Pulls them out. And I think he's got a judo attitude towards it where he's going to let this furious street brawler come at him with everything. And he's just all about dodging and defense.
San Tekka knows he's got to pick his moment. I have been around Judo Jean LaBelle, who's well into his 80s. He's got to be, I think. Correct me out there if I'm wrong. But he is one of the toughest men in the history of movies, professional wrestling, judo. One of the reasons Ronda Rousey is as good as she is. One of the reasons Roddy Piper was as good as he is. I've been around the guy. I've met the guy. Seriously, I'll look it up, but I believe he's in his 80s. I wouldn't fight him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fight him because I could think even in my youth, even though I'm untrained and I'm coming up on 40, but I'm still young enough I can get this and I can move around. I can shuck and jive. All it takes is one shot from Judo Jean LaBelle and I'm done. I'm probably dead.
Okay.
I think Santeca is that guy. He knows he can't get in a hand-to-hand, massive, long-term fight. He's not going to be running around. But he's going to wait, and he's going to stall as much as he can with Tasu Leech. Going to try to talk to him. Sir, we don't do that here. Don't cut in front of the nice space lady.
And he's already getting ready because he knows where it's going.
He knows what's coming. He's been around the world. He's seen a lot of things. And Tasu Leech is going to be arrogant enough.
Right.
Because, again, he hesitates. I think, like a lot of bullies, he's got some fear deep down inside. And he's smart enough to know that Han was dangerous, smart enough to know that if you mess up with Chewie, you're dead. So Tasu's going to try to bully this old man into submission. Because, again, he's not here for that. He's here for Unkar. And that is when Lor San Tekka is going to be I gave you a warning. Boom. One shot from Santeca.
You say one shot. Okay.
And not dead. Leech is not dead.
Yeah.
But he's knocked out. He's unconscious. Something like that.
At least dazed.
He's done.
So, yeah. I think maybe he can't take him out all the way. But I think pulling from what we know that Laura Santeca understands the Force. He understands both the power and the danger of anger. Right. And he realizes that anger can focus you, or it can just make you foolish and full of yourself and egotistical. So maybe he knows the angrier this guy is, he's not even going to be able to focus his attacks.
Right.
And we also know that Tasu Leech is distracted by things in the environment, like Rathars.
Right. Though many could argue you should be distracted by Rathars.
Absolutely. But he has a Hut Splitter in there, and the Hut Splitter is a powerful name. I read the name Hut Splitter, and I just want to say the guy who has a Hut Splitter can defeat anybody. But that Hut Splitter did not help him against the Rathars.
You're very right there.
He was distracted by the chaos. I think he's a focus guy of, like, he sees something he doesn't like, and then he just ravages it. But he's got, you know, tunnel vision.
Yeah.
In Laura Santeca, he sees the big picture.
Absolutely.
So he thinks, I can enrage him. If I can enrage him, he'll be a clumsy idiot.
And I'm drawing all these weird pop culture comparisons. It's like in Steve Martin's version of Roxanne, where in the bar scene where the guy playing darts and challenges Steve Martin to the 20 insults. And the guy's about to pick the fight, and Rich Snyder and Kevin Nealon have the run in at the beginning of the movie with Steve Martin. So they're there. Snyder's there. And actually in the background is going, no. I think Unkar or someone there is trying to get Tasu's attention, going, no, not this guy. I know what you're thinking. Boom, too late.
This isn't worth any portions. Don't fight him. I love Unkar's voice, and it sounds like he's always about to throw up.
I'll pray for him. Let's mine. Let's get ready to rumble.
So, yes, I think this is indeed what we're saying, is that Laura Santeca has been around. He knows the galaxy. Tasu Leech is powerful, vicious, but angry and unfocused, in that Laura Santeca would be able to see him coming. He would be able to use his knowledge and his slower but still swift reflexes to at least ding Tasu Leech enough so that then Laura Santeca could run away in full of fear and panic. So we're saying that he would win, but then he would just run.
He'd know to get out.
He would know. Who knows? The rest of the kanji club is coming.
Yeah.
That Hut Splitter is going to be coming out any moment, and he knows enough to get out of there.
Get out of there, and then Tasu Leech is going to come to. He's going to wake up, kind of not remember what happened, but be embarrassed enough to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I think Tasu Leech is going to beat up at least one person there.
Oh, yeah, and some innocent's going to get it at that point.
Yeah, anybody who talks about this ever.
Right.
In basic or Huttese. If any of you soft people use a soft language or a hard language to say that an 89-year-old just goaded me and then whacked me with a space baton while buying chimes, I will murder everyone on this planet. And you know, when he leaves, Nima Post fears Tasu Leech, even though he got his butt handed to him by an 89-year-old man wearing space robes.
Just wanting to buy wind chimes.
He just wanted to buy wind chimes, everyone. So, see, at the beginning of this episode, I thought there was no way. Laura Santeca could possibly survive this battle.
No way.
We talked ourselves into it. Feel free to think of your other scenarios, and feel free to tweet at us what scenarios in which perhaps this battle might turn out differently, because I can imagine that there'd be others, but I'm thrilled with how this brawl turned out. If there are other battles that you would like to see, specific characters that you guys would like to fight, please tweet at Force Center Pod and use the hashtag DatabankBrawl. Just let us know what characters you'd like to fight. We're going to do some obscure characters for a while, but then eventually we're going to do some big characters. Who knows? Maybe someday the first Death Star will fight the second Death Star in fisticuffs. Who knows? Because anything can happen here on Data Bank Brawl.
Small details are big surfaces. tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.